This special interview episode of The Instance is brought to you in part by Shutterstock.com. With over 26 million high-quality stock photos, illustrations, vectors, and video clips, Shutterstock helps you take your next creative project to the next level. For 30% off your new account, go to Shutterstock.com and use the offer code WOW8. Hello, everybody, and welcome to a special episode of The Instance. Today, we talk to WoW developer, one of the lead developers, Mr. Corey Stockton. He's been on the show before. We either talked about 5.2 or 5.3. I can't remember before. That may have been Greg 5.3, but I think I said in the interview 5.3. Anyway, it doesn't matter. really excited to have him back on the show. Corey's a good friend of the program and always has cool stuff to say about upcoming content in the World of Warcraft. 5.4 is the topic today. I hope you guys enjoy it. I don't want to waste too much of the time up top, so let's just jump right in. Ladies and gentlemen, my interview with Corey Stockton. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to a special interview episode of The Instance. I am so happy to be welcoming back Corey Stockton to the show. Corey, welcome back.
Good to be back.
It's always good to have you on. We had you on pre-5.3. Here we get to do this again pre-5.4. A lot of exciting stuff going on your end. About to go to Germany, so we really, really appreciate your time today.
No problem at all. Always love talking to you guys.
It's great to be on live today. Also, we have a chat room full of people. Thank you all for being here. You know, one of the reasons that Corey was going to come on the show was so we could spend an entire hour talking about perfect fruit in Animal Crossing, but I think for time we might just want to jump straight to the 5.4 stuff.
Yeah, we could get lost in Animal Crossing talk.
That's true. By the way, thanks for whatever fruit I stole from your world and brought back to mine.
I think it was cherries.
Was it cherries? I think it was.
I have perfect cherries. I have like a forest of them.
Oh, beautiful. Here's the thing I noticed. So it's early in the game, but I noticed when I popped in there and was running around your town, You are running a much tighter ship than me. Let's put it that way. Nice and clean and looks great. So just a little insight, folks out there listening, into the mind of a developer at Blizzard and a designer and the way he thinks. Just look at his Animal Crossing town. So, Corey, let's get right to the 5.4 elephant in the room, some would call it. I actually think it's the most exciting elephant. My version of this elephant is decorated in all sorts of Christmas lights and funny hats. But let's talk about 5.4's introduction of flexible raids real quick.
Yeah.
A lot of our listeners are really excited about this. I'm very excited about it. The whole team here on the show is very excited about it. It really fits into the way we play, especially certain times of year and at certain points in the expansion cycles that tend to happen around WoW. So for us, it's all good news. But there are many who are concerned, some of which we've challenged on the show to sort of express some of that concern in terms that we can understand. And we haven't really been getting a lot of really good explanations, but some people are saying, oh, well, it just encourages more of a casual atmosphere when it comes to raiding, more so than even happened with LFR. And our answer back to that has typically been, well, if you've got a solid 10-man and you guys are already doing great, this doesn't affect you or even do anything mm-hmm. to you. You just keep running your 10-man mm-hmm. content. What is the perspective from your end on this feature? How excited are you, and what are, you know, what give us maybe some of the thinking behind it?
It's certainly, you know, I think for all of us on the team, it's one of the most exciting features. And mainly because anytime we can add, you know, basically a new type of mode or a gameplay that we can get more people into the game in ways that is comfortable for them, I think is always some of the best things we can do. So like adding LFR, right, was huge. Gave a completely new type of gameplay to so many folks that couldn't even get into normal raiding. And I think really where we see this fitting in, obviously, is between Raid Finder and normal. But on top of just adding, like, obviously a new difficulty level in there, I think what it does is it just opens up the flexibility to not have to have, yeah, obviously having an open number between, you know, anywhere between 10 and 25 players, and you can come in and have a raid that's tuned to you. The difficulty, you know, mods based on how many players that you have in it. You're going to be able to earn achievements in it. It's going to have, obviously, loot that feels rewarding right for its exact level. It's one of those things, you know, we can add things to the game that are like, here's some new rewards, or here's some new items, or here's you know, certain new things, but this is really a new experience. And I think that's really why it's important to us that we want to make sure players, you know, understand where it fits into the concept between LFR, normal, and heroic, and why we put so much work into it.
Yeah. One of the things that strikes me about the new flex rating is this, that there's going to be this opportunity for teams who maybe, you know, let's say you've got a 25-man team that's kind of been in and out, and if not enough people showed up, well, you don't really want to pug the rest, or other guys online aren't quite up to spec or whatever to run with your team. So you've kind of had to sort of can it, and everybody goes and does something else that night. That starts happening often enough, it seems like, well, there ought to be a better way. This seems like that might be that better way. I would like to talk specifically about the difficulty change when someone leaves or comes in. As it stands right now, if somebody leaves the raid, and let's say you went from 18 to 17, you're now at, you know, the difficulty is going to adjust accordingly. How noticeable is it for, say, one or two people to pop in or out?
We really have the control to set that difficulty level based on any number of players we want. For example, you know, we could say do it when a raid drops from 20 to 15 would be the line where it changes. We could also have it drop and change at 19, 18, you know, 17, 16, all the way down. But currently, we're not really planning to do that because one player difference generally isn't worth it for us to completely change the way that everything's going to work. Meaning like, you know, obviously there's how strong spells are when they're cast on you, but there's also things like how many adds are summoned based on the number of players that you have. And, you know, we definitely have a vibe that we can feel like, okay, well, normally this fight would only summon, say, I don't know, three adds if you had, you know, 15 people. But then if you had 20 people, let's say it would summon four adds. If you had, you know, 25, it would summon five adds.
So it sounds like you guys are definitely tuning based on encounter then.
Oh, yeah, for sure. We can tune all of that all the way across. I mean, we're tuning like crazy now. We've been watching it, especially over this last weekend, watching it super close. And just it's still in a very heavy tuning state of how we're trying to make sure that those numbers feel right.
Interesting. So it's a per encounter basis. I remember being pretty impressed back in the Diablo 1 and Diablo 2 days when you would bring in some of your friends and suddenly things would get harder. And if they left, they'd get easier. And this is true of Diablo 3 as well. Did any of that previous work from Blizzard sort of inform this decision? I'm sure it's much more gray area than that. But did that have anything to do with it, kind of an existing, I don't know, experience with another Blizzard game where that worked out pretty well?
Not necessarily. Really, the kind of the concept, this is something we had wanted to do for a long time, right? To be able to offer something above LFR, below normal, and then had the ability to work with a different number of players so that we didn't have to create separate raids and lock people into 10 and 25. Like, imagine we made a new difficulty, right? I don't know. We could call it starter or something, like above LFR.
All right.
If we did 10 and 25, you're still limited to that. So really, it was the matter of there's the tech limitation of how can we make this happen, making sure that we have the ability to mod things based on people coming in and out,
right,
and solving those problems that you kind of brought up at the beginning about what happens when a player leaves and we do go below the threshold.
Right.
You know, what happens if two other players come back in and then all of a sudden now we go back over it? We have to, you know, that's really what takes a lot of the time is how do we deal with all those borderline cases? Mm. The borderline cases are way worse than the actual tech to make things happen.
Oh, I'm sure. Plus, I just popped into my head, if you had a case where somebody DC'd and was struggling to get their connection up, they're having a storm in their area or something completely unrelated to the game or to Blizzard or anybody. And let's say that was the threshold and now there's five less ads. Well, if that guy pops in and he's back in the raid, you know, then what? I guess what I'm getting at is it sounds like there is, with every new complexity, there's three more hatched perhaps with a change like this.
Pretty much. I mean, if you think about our current raid system, imagine like, you know, Siege of Orgrimmar, right? Like, we already have to make those individual bosses have to have four, they essentially have four copies of their records. That's what we call it internally, as a record, right? Mm. One for each of the difficulty levels. And then you also have to set that up for, they have to have records separate for like 10 and 25. Now, also take into account across all the stuff that we already have, then you have to add in the concept of flexible, which says based on how many players are in this raid, I need to adjust to that as well. So every time we add stuff like this, it obviously, it, you know, we think it affects the game in a great way, gives people more options, but it also increases the overhead that we have for from every raid boss we make, right? From here on out, it's going to be more overhead.
Sure. Well, and that, that
but I think it's worth it, right? We look at it as this is something that players have wanted for a while. So in our eyes, that kind of work is worth it. We just have to make sure that we have the tech on our end that we can still make, you know, a huge number of bosses with awesome encounters to go along with this tech.
Right. Well, it's gonna fix my raiding life. So I'm very much looking forward to it. There's still, I mean, people tend to get controversial about any changes you guys make, and this one certainly is not immune to that. But it will be interesting to see once it lands, you know, how players, you know, settle in and how this ends up getting used, yeah. And then how you guys sort of tweak from there. I think it's probably the most exciting, or it's at least one of the most exciting things about this patch.
It's definitely in progress, right? Like, it's a feature we've announced and we're currently tuning. We're obviously going to find things that we will change and adjust. But I think that's just the nature of the beast, right? Like, right. A feature like this is pretty big. We got to get it out in the open, let people play, even outside of the PTR. And we'll continue to adjust and listen to feedback like any other big Blizzard feature.
Sure. Speaking of big Blizzard features, there is something being removed, and that is the basic item level requirement for enchanting in the game. And this is an interesting change. What was the basic decision behind or reasons behind that decision to no longer make that a barrier to what you could or couldn't enchant?
I think in general, it's just a matter of the amount of research that if you look at trade skills, right? Like, one thing we don't want people to have to feel like is when they want to do something that they have to go online and like do some research to figure out how to do what they're doing right.
Yeah.
Like they could spend all this time trying to get an enchant and then lo and behold, come to find out that, oh, crap, this isn't going to work, right?
Right.
In general, we really love to have systems that can just be self-explanatory. And I mean, when you think about enchants, you know, these days in World of Warcraft, something that we're trying to help is just this fact that when you get an item, there's so much stuff you have to do to this item before you even feel like you're done with it,
yeah.
Right? Like you get it, you got to gem it. You know, you got to go get the gems, make sure the gems are right. You got to enchant it. In some cases, you got to reforge it. I mean, heck, you can even transmog it, right?
Right.
So it's like the most exciting moment almost isn't when you actually get it as a drop. It's like it's almost once you have everything in it, right?
Yeah.
And reducing the barrier like on enchanting for that can already make that simpler, make that be less of a case where you have to feel like you have to go figure it out.
Yeah, it's interesting because you're basically taking away the time and the grind, even if it's a small one, so that but you're not taking away the enhancement or the quote unquote addition to already the kind of loot hook, which is all right, I got the item, and now I still want to do some other things to it. I'm refining what those things are, and one of them is an enchant, but I don't have to jump through a hoop to enchant anymore. Mm-hmm. I can just enchant and get there. I think that's pretty good. I mean, I assume you guys see a lot of end-of-life concepts like this and that need removing. I remember things like arrows for hunters, soul shards for warlocks. Like, things just kind of go end-of-life due to other factors and things. I mean, how often, I guess I'd love to get kind of behind-the-scenes idea of how it is to spot that sort of thing and then know what needs to go now or what should wait another year or those kinds of things.
It is totally one of the toughest things that we deal with, right? Because, you know, World of Warcraft is this game that it's not like you play it for, you know, I loved The Last of Us, loved it. It was a really great experience. But I play it, you know, it's like 10 hours and I'm done.
Right.
It's like this game, we have people that are playing this game for years. And this guy could have been doing, you know, this one specific thing for years. He's very attached to it. Many people are attached to it. And even though we might think that it's the right design decision to change this, in some cases, World of Warcraft is World of Warcraft, right? At its core, there's certain things that we really don't want to change because even though it might make the design better, it's probably going to have an overall general effect on the game.
Yeah.
Those decisions are so tough to make, right? We don't want players to have 40 buttons that they have to keep on their action bar. It's something we talk about every expansion. We want to reduce the number of buttons. It's so freaking hard.
Because there's part of you wants to add more too. Like you want players to be able to do more things, but you're like, well, if they do that, then why are we having them feed their pets? Or why are we having them do this other thing or whatever?
You don't want to introduce the expansion of here's nothing new. Enjoy. It's the greatest designed expansion of all time. Like, clearly no one's going to like that, right? We have to come up with new stuff. We got to give people new things to do, new buttons to push. But you know, it's a 9-year-old game where it's a difficult thing to deal with. And expansion times, I think, are the best times for us to make those changes.
Right.
It gives us a chance to explain them. People know that they're incoming. They have some time to get ready. Mm-hmm. That's where we tend to like to make those big kind of changes, but it's definitely something we're thinking about all the time.
Well, and often those end up showing up, you know, pre-patch, like preparatory or whatever, which is great. Cause I guess you guys get a lot of, I'm assuming you get a ton of testing data out of that, which is, you know, you're basically PTRing the world.
We are.
For,
and we like
for even
to,
a weekend sometimes or however long it takes.
We like to sneak things in sometimes that might be an expansion feature.
Sure.
But sometimes we'll get it in early to have a chance to just see, oh, well, you know, how are they reacting to this? Do we think this is something that's cool? Gives us a chance to test it in a live environment. And then we can go whole hog on it in the expansion.
Right, right. Hey guys, breaking in here real quick with a mention of our friends over at Shutterstock.com. Shutterstock.com is the place you're going to find the perfect image or video for your next big creative projects. I have these kind of projects all the time, and holy crap, am I glad I have Shutterstock to turn to when I need something. I can choose from over 26 million high-quality stock photos, illustrations, vectors, and video clips. Don't count out those vectors, man. Turns out those are extra helpful when you got to do packaging or, you know, any kind of design, really. They're right there for you when you need them. Why make your own when they're all there? They source images from all around the world. Put those at your fingertips. And many of these contributors to Shutterstock are professional photographers and artists. So you're getting the best stuff possible. And they add 10,000 or more images per day. So every time you visit, you're going to find something new. They have flexible pricing. They give you the images that you need for your project. It's really, really that simple, 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 simple. Sophisticated search tools, too, which is really nice. And the new Spectrum tool, where you can sort images by color spectrum, which is pretty cool. Lots of creative teams use it, and it's something I've used. So go check it out. There's no credit card needed, by the way, just to add an account. Begin using Shutterstock to help you imagine what your next project might be like. Save some images to the Lightbox and so on. Once you decide to purchase, though, use the offer code WOW8. That's WOW8, WOW8. And new accounts will receive 30% off any package. That's Shutterstock.com. And for 30% off new accounts, use offer code WOW8. We thank Shutterstock for their support of the show. Let's touch on another big, some of these feel like expansion moves, some of this stuff, and it makes me excited for what the actual expansion is going to be next time. But let's touch on Proving Grounds just for a second. When I first saw it, I kind of saw it, I think others might have too, saw it as a more sort of a complex replacement for test dummies. But it's more than that, clearly. What was the thinking behind it? Was it in effect kind of a replacement for that, but also much more than that, or am I off base with even assuming that?
Originally it was a chance for us to let people who had never tanked or done heals before to have a place to do that, right? In an environment that felt like an actual dungeon, but not a dungeon. Mm. Obviously, DPS can do that in here much more effectively than they can on a dummy because it can feel more like a real-world scenario. But there was no way to do that for tanking and healing. Right. The original thought was that we could figure out a way to do that, give people a chance to learn those mechanics so that, because I think we've all been in the pickup group where you have the guy who's never healed before, and he's basically, you know, screwing the other four players as he learns how to heal. Same for the tank, right? You're like, you're not holding threat very well. And the guy's like, what's threat? I don't even know what that means.
Right.
So it's a chance for, in some ways, we see it like that, that it can really improve the game overall. If people can get in there and have a chance to test those mechanics. Maybe you always wanted to be a healer, but you've never had a chance to try it. You know, you play a druid and you've always been a bear. Right. You know, you could go out and actually try Resto in there, get a vibe for it, see if you actually like it, you know, go all the way through and get gold, and then you could feel like you could queue up and you would be fine. You know, you'd be able to handle it.
It does seem like classes who can do all three major roles in the game are going to benefit from this the most because they're the ones that stand to benefit the most. I mean, they have these three very diverse things they do, whereas a hunter or a mage really just is tuning DPS, but these guys actually can make a real life decision here based on Proving Grounds. That's very interesting. And you hope players are going to do that, I guess.
We really do. I think there's a future for Proving Grounds too. We're obviously not doing any of this yet, but you know, you could imagine Proving Grounds being, look at dungeons right now, the way that like we look at eye level and we say to do a heroic dungeon, you have to have a specific eye level. you know, what if you had to have, you know, gold improving grounds or silver improving grounds? Mm. And by doing that, that would qualify you for the dungeon instead of eye level.
Interesting.
That's just an example of something that we could do. But I think there's definitely growth beyond the feature just here in 5.4. But we're excited to see what people think about it and, you know, see how many people get through it and what they do.
Yeah.
Their
I'm
feedback.
Pretty excited about it myself. To me, it seems like a double thread. It's more content to play with. So it's just more stuff people can do. They can compare their, you know, their results and all of that. But also, obviously, there's a huge benefit to people who, I don't know, if they're complaining that there aren't great players in Raid, what better way to maybe improve those statistics than give those not so great players a way to hone their skills? So to me, this feeds your flexible raid problem. Not problem, but you know, it feeds into maybe improving all of that as well. So I'm having a really hard time over the last few weeks finding any real downsides to proving grounds other than it's a ton of work for you guys and you know, it needs to pay off to be worth all that time, but I can't find a player downside for it.
It's a feature we had wanted to ship with 5.0. It was an original Mists of Pandaria feature, you know, along with many other things. It didn't make the cut, and we got it in. It stayed on the list. We kept bumping it, and then it finally made it here. So it's definitely something we were excited about. We've been excited about for a while.
Right. Well, I'm pretty stoked about that. Let's get to the biggest thing, or one of the most important things, certainly from a lore perspective, story perspective, and that is the Siege of Orgrimmar and the confrontation with Garrosh Hellscream. I wonder. It's an interesting direction for WoW because the ultimate baddie in this expansion is coming from within instead of somewhere else. Is that what excites you guys on your end? Because I think that's what's given me a lot of excitement. I know there are Alliance players that kind of wish more was happening on their side, but I think this is a fantastic twist and it's going to be a whole lot of fun. But what drives you guys in this particular area? What is exciting about the Siege of Orgrimmar?
There's a number of things. One, obviously having a raid in one of our capital cities, I think is huge. It's such a place of equity for players to be able to fight bosses in here. That alone feels great. I think we feel really excited and proud that we've been able to, if you think about Garrosh, he was like this lowly NPC in Northrend that we kind of introduced. And you know, over the course of these three expansions, we've been able to, you know, now you're defeating him as the final raid boss, you know, in the final patch of the expansion. It's kind of like people always talked about Arthas, and, you know, Arthas obviously was pre-made. People already knew because, of course, he had come from Warcraft 3, right? So we already knew there were these built-up conceptions about him, and we always talked about how we want our raid bosses to feel like that. When you come here, you want to kill him. You know what he's done in the past. You know, you understand why you were here killing him. It's not like you're not just killing him for the loot, right? We really hope that it's important to players that you're killing him because you know why. You're following the story.
Sure.
And I think with Garrosh, all of this stuff is super clear, right? We've really worked hard through the patch cycle to really sell what he's doing to Pandaria, why it's so bad, what his plans are for the Horde. And to see all of that come to fruition after all this time, I think feels so great to so many of us of the team. And then you just stack in these raid fights are just, they're so good.
Yeah.
You know, the environments they've built for this stuff, everything behind it, I think is really just the pinnacle.
Well, the bread trail's been fun because it's been more than just in-game cinematics telling us what's happening next. There have been scenarios that have been key to what's leading up here. There have been books. There have been comics. There have been, you know, other stuff. The recent Burdens video series that was just put up on YouTube is an amazing other side of what's going on in Pandaria. And it's all leading to this crazy showdown in a place I entered at level 10.
Right. And I think that's what's so cool.
Yeah, it is. It's an amazing feeling to go down there and get into an instanced conversation with Horde leaders who are, you know, unhappy and ready to go and go, man, this is where I got my first pet back in vanilla. You know, it's awesome. It's really awesome.
I love the change to the world. I think that's the other big, huge thing of it. It was a tough decision to decide to actually, you know, destroy the Veil in 5.4 permanently and have that be, you know, that's really what's there. That's not, you're not going into some phase. That's, you know, Garrosh literally just destroyed the Veil and everything with it. And I think that, that really just sets him up as like he really would do that, you know, and we actually would change the world to reflect that in the game. Yeah. I think that kind of stuff just adds to the impact of the patch for our players.
Absolutely. Got one question here that came from Ro and about 100 other people today who are all asking, and you may not be able to answer this, is my guess, since they all are asking, but we'll see. Do we know what the planned item level requirement for Raid Finder Siege of Orgrimmar is going to be yet?
I mean, I've heard many numbers, right, is what I could tell you. I don't think we've settled on the final value yet, yeah, to be honest, yeah, based on the fact of everything that's still going on. There's been a bunch of numbers flying around.
Right.
But I do not know the exact number for you yet.
All right. So listeners, go on assuming 500 until you hear different, because we don't know. We still don't know. That's what they're all assuming. So we'll find out. Anything exciting happened with pet battles you want to talk about? Because honestly, when I think of Corey Stockton, I automatically think pet battles, because even though you've never really quite confirmed this with me, I think you were instrumental in bringing those systems to the game. Anything about 5.4 and pet battles that you want to make sure people are aware of or are thinking about?
Yeah, for sure. There's 34 new pets scattered across the patch in all kinds of different places. Probably the biggest feature, the part I'm the most hyped on, is we have a pet battle scenario and that you can queue up for, and it's a unique experience of something we've never done before. We're using the scenario tech, and you're fighting a series of six pet trainers in a row, and you have to beat all of them without using any heals or bandages in between. Oh, wow. If you use a heal or a bandage, it resets the whole scenario and you have to start over. On top of that, there are 12 unique trainers that rotate every week through the scenario. So you can actually go a month, and it's a weekly quest, so you can do it once every week. And every week it'll be different for an entire month before it resets again.
Right.
So not only will you have to build a team to beat, you know, that set of six, you'll have to build multiple teams to beat each one.
Oh, man.
And the reward is we have four brand new, super awesome, unique pets for each of the Pandaren spirits that you can get as pets, as rewards for doing it.
That's pretty awesome. And it's, I mean, obviously, Pet Battles continues to be a personal favorite of mine. Are there pet battle or pet level requirements for hitting the scenario and being able to play the scenario?
Yeah, I believe what we have right now on the PTR, we had it that you had to have it was 30 level 25 pets is what we were checking for.
Right.
We've been talking, we've gone back and forth. That's been 10 at some times. It's been 15. Just making sure that we feel like, you know, you put in the time, you essentially are qualifying. It's not like we have item level for pet battles.
Right. That's good.
We also didn't want to make you feel like you had to have gone through every single quest before. You know, like, oh, maybe you didn't do the Pandaren spirit line in 5.1, or maybe you didn't do this. We thought it was just a little bit simpler to just say that we had a requirement. You just said X number of pets at max level.
Yeah, it makes sense. I am very much looking forward to that. Final question, and then I know you've got a busy week coming up and a lot to do. Here's the big one. We have seen that the Battle.net app has hit 1.0. Any chance this thing might go wide release with 5.4?
That's actually out of my hands. It's part of our Battle.net group that actually manages the app. We work with them for what we want to have WoW do.
Right.
But that's a whole separate group here at Blizzard that's doing that. I can tell you our goal is certainly to have it out as soon as humanly possible. Mm. We're all using it at home all the time, and I love it.
I was going to ask, how are you feeling about it? I've done a little bit of digging into how people are dealing with the beta and stuff, but is it coming along and being the thing that you guys all hope it'll be?
Yeah, I mean, I love being able to instantly check if anyone is online playing WoW without having to go into WoW.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
That's a big deal. Yeah.
Because it's running all the time. It's sitting there in your tray, right? And it's obviously downloading the patches, and everything's always up to date, so you never have to worry about patching. But what I find that I'm using the most is just taking a quick look at the friends online list there and being able to see, Greg's raiding tonight, or Tom's doing this, or so-and-so is doing this. And I can know, oh, do I want to get on and join them? I don't have to log into the game all the way and check first. Right. I found that to be a really cool feature.
Yeah, very much.
Hearthstone.
Oh, yeah. I was going to ask, how's that going for you?
That's probably the best part of the launcher, is having Hearthstone.
Yeah, I imagine so. Yeah, we are all on pins and needles for Hearthstone.
It's so good.
Yeah, very excited. It's I know you guys have been playing it internally for a while, and yep, you must be as excited as we are to get it in wide release and get everyone's hands on it.
play it more every single time they update on the internal alpha, more and more and more.
Well, that's awesome. I'm very much looking forward to that and looking forward to BlizzCon. Your contributions there are always noteworthy.
Can't wait.
Yeah, it's going to be great. It's nice after a year off to come back, yeah?
Oh, yeah. We missed it last year. I mean, we were able to get, you know, BlizzCon takes a lot of our time, but it's like the funnest part of the year working here at Blizzard. It's just so great to see everyone in person and see all the fans and so many people. You know, there's 2 days you can't beat it if you're a WoW fan. They're just amazing.
Me as well. I'd look forward to shaking hands again. I'm sure someone will run into somebody at that Hilton bar they always do.
Oh, the Hilton bar is always busy at BlizzCon.
Well, cool, man. I really appreciate your help, and best of luck with the launch of 5.4, your trip to Germany, and everything else leading up to BlizzCon. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks. It was great to talk to you, too.
About this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.